What's up, Eagles Nation? Welcome in. You are locked in on the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you in studio alongside, as always, my co-host Gino Camilleri on this Tuesday edition of the show. We've got a lot to get into, Gino, and it's all about the secondary today. So yesterday, the Eagles made a big splash free agent signing, bringing in another great pass-rushing defensive tackle in Javon Hargrave to go along with Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson. We touched on that and also how they missed out on Byron Jones, who signed a long-term deal with the Dolphins. So that was on yesterday's podcast as we recapped day one of the tampering window of NFL free agency. You can subscribe to the podcast on any platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. But then today, we knew there was more news to follow. The Eagles were kind of quiet yesterday before they signed Hargrave. There was a lot of moves that had to be done, a lot of in-house free agents they needed to make decisions on, and that's kind of what we got today with Rodney McLeod, Jalen Mills, and Malcolm Jenkins. But before we get into Mills and McLeod,
Nate Sudfeld too, bro.
Yeah, that's right, Nate Sudfeld, respect. That's right. Sudfeld is going to be QB2, hopefully, behind Carson Wentz. They bring him back on a one-year contract, which I'm really excited about. I believe in Sudfeld. I'm confident in him as QB2. But the big domino to fall that we've kind of been waiting on, especially since they didn't get in on Byron Jones, Gino, was Malcolm Jenkins. And the situation, I should say, that they had with his contract, because he was not set to be a free agent like Rodney McLeod, but there was a team option that they needed to make a decision on by Wednesday whether or not to pick it up. The reason that they had to make a decision on that was complex was Malcolm Jenkins said last year that he was not going to play on this contract in 2020. He did not hold out in 2019, but he has expressed interest in getting paid more, getting a new contract. So we thought maybe they'll pick it up and even try to trade him if they don't give him an extension. They actually apparently did, according to Jeff McClain, but they couldn't get a deal done, and apparently the two sides just could not come to terms on a new contract as well. So Malcolm Jenkins is headed to free agency after six really amazing seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. Gino, just want to get your initial thoughts, because on the offseason options podcast, the safety edition of the show, you were kind of talking about, I mean, we've really emphasized bringing in, you know, young safeties to eventually take over for Jenkins and McLeod over the past couple of drafts, and especially this one, we really like the pool in this draft. So we were talking about that even with Jenkins in house, but you kind of even said that you almost would prioritize McLeod and really now emphasize bringing in young talent back there, as opposed to maybe giving Jenkins a big deal.
Yeah, I was kind of on board with that, because not because of just the player that Rodney McLeod is, but the role that he plays. And I saw somebody tweeted out today that they need to get a third safety now, because neither of the two safeties they have back there in Rodney McLeod and Jalen Mills have this foot speed to cover from single high. And then I was thinking to myself, did Malcolm Jenkins have that foot speed that I was missing out on? And yeah, they definitely needed to overhaul that position and get younger, but I think they did it in the right way. And I think what I said the other day on the safety pod was the business decision that they had to make. And you got Rodney McLeod coming back at $6 million per to play that role that, I mean, look at what Jordan Poyer just got paid on his extension. Look at what the single high, I mean, even Trey Boston got paid almost more than Rodney McLeod did. And I think the role that McLeod plays is so important to this Eagles team. You saw it in 2018 when he went down. And frankly, we said it before the show, Lou, to me, Jalen Mills fits into that Malcolm Jenkins role perfectly. I mean, he's a very good tackler on the edge. We said he fits that safety role better than he does at cornerback. And a majority of the time, he played his best ball when he was down by the box. So why not do what every single Eagles fan wanted them to do and move Jalen Mills to safety and allow him to prosper at that position? And now you can have Rodney McLeod stay back to where he was in single high and possibly bring in a young safety three that can make up this ground in single high and even let Rodney McLeod prosper down by the box. So you have so much optionality now. And I think if you were to sign Malcolm Jenkins, you would have lost Rodney McLeod and you probably would have lost Jalen Mills too. And hey, they still have a lot of cap room to go out and trade for Darius Slayer, even sign Chris Harris. So I like the moves that they made today. They weren't moves that were made with a heart, like Howie Roseman said he wasn't going to do. They were business sensible moves. And I think the Eagles, all in all, I don't think they got worse today. I think they're just about where they were at before free agency started, with the Hargrave move, with everything that went on. Malcolm Jenkins leaving, it hurts, don't get me wrong, but you can find guys to deploy in the role that Malcolm Jenkins played the last couple of seasons for much less than what he wanted.
Yeah, so I'm kind of conflicted with what happened today. Obviously, I'm very pleased they brought back Rodney McLeod. It's kind of a sigh of relief because I was concerned that if this did happen and they lost Malcolm Jenkins and they allowed Rodney McLeod to go test the open market, that they could be left with, you know, nothing. All you'd be left with is Marcus Epps, maybe, mm-hmm. at safety. So I'm really glad McLeod came back in on, you know, 2 years, $12 million. That's a heck of a deal, especially, too, when you bring in Jalen Mills on only $5 million on a one-year contract. That's a lot of good value. You get two
players for the
price of one.
That's what the deal was. I didn't even see it.
Yeah, you get two players for the price of one. Mills signed a one-year deal worth $5 million. So I agree with you. I mean, he's someone that can play in the box, you know, around the formation. He's a really good tackler, as you said. I did wonder if they were going to move a corner to safety. If they lost McLeod, Geno, I thought maybe then it would be Avante Maddox, because you don't want Jalen Mills as your single high safety. I think the foot speed is really a concern. But for what he's going to do, for the role that he will have, it's a fit. It does work. He is going to be the new Malcolm Jenkins, and he's also a vocal leader for the team, which is really big, because that's something you cannot overlook that you're losing right now with Jenkins. And that's the one thing, though, that I'm kind of concerned about is, you know, on the field, I do understand not wanting to pay a 32-year-old player. That's not what he was in 2015 to 2017, not wanting to pay that guy, you know, $14 to $15 million annually. However, if that's not what he was looking for, and he just wanted to get a, you know, a raise to some sort, maybe like a Devin McCourty contract, and the Eagles didn't want to budge at all, to me, I would call that a mistake, because he has dropped off. But you still look at what he did in 2019. He had over 80 tackles, 4 forced fumbles, 2.5 sacks. He never missed a snap. He was playing special teams. And again, I just don't want to overlook the off-the-field stuff. You know, what he did, you know, communicating on the field. We talked about, you lose Nigel Bradham, you're going to need that. But also off the field, he was the heartbeat, I feel like, of that team, of that locker room, right? So that's something, I don't know, I feel like is a really big loss. And especially now, if you're going to have, you know, two brand new cornerbacks, a brand new linebacking core, I feel like having that veteran presence there would be pretty crucial. So I'm kind of back and forth. I definitely get your side of it, but I do think that this is a big loss that Jalen Mills isn't going to just immediately replace. I think that it's going to have to be someone else eventually, like a, you know, a first or second round pick, a boy like, you know, your guy Kyle Duggar or somebody like that, that really eventually replaces the value of Jenkins.
Yeah, and that's what we had to do this offseason. I mean, we knew that we didn't have the luxury of doing what the Buffalo Bills are doing right now and spending all this money on veteran guys that can really fit us into this window that we have to win. No, we are now in this post-Carson Wentz contract world, and we knew that the reality of business decisions was going to come. And this was the first one. And it's unfortunate, but look at the market, Lou. Safeties aren't getting this money unless you can do literally everything like Tyrann Mathieu and Earl Thomas can do. As much as we love what Malcolm did for this defense last year, in reality, that's not the going rate for a player of what he does for your team. Like, yes, the off-the-field stuff absolutely matters. I will say I absolutely love the fact that both Rodney McLeod and Jalen Mills both posted independent Instagram posts.
The Mills one really had me in my feels.
Yeah, no, definitely. But these guys, like, you knew Jalen Mills was a leader when he came back.
Absolutely.
Rodney McLeod, I always had seen it in him that he was a leader. You still have Fletcher Cox. You still have Brandon Graham. But now you can have Carson Wentz kind of take this team to be his own. And I think this is the new generation that you have to see. And it really sucks. And I'm literally getting like goosebumps talking about this. This is a once in a two decade type thing. We saw it with Brian Dawkins and now Malcolm Jenkins, two emotional leaders that are leaving. But now it's the next man up, dude, and it's unfortunate, but this is the NFL, and these are the tough decisions that have to be made. But I firmly believe that this organization knows what they're doing. I think they did everything in their power to bring Malcolm Jenkins back, but, man, you can't just spend with your heart and Howie Roseman said it himself. And that's why I'm not overly shocked at this. But yeah, man, at the end of the day, it stinks. But who they kept in-house to take that position, I'm a little more at ease, because I believe Jalen has always been a smarter player than he has been on the field, physical type.
Well, I always
player.
Thought he was a better safety anyway than a corner. I just don't think he Absolutely. Was someone that was fit for the role that Jim Schwartz was always giving him.
No, I definitely agree. And one thing that kind of brings me a little bit of makes my eyes perk up a little bit is that Jim Schwartz, who scoffed at the idea of this for so long of moving him to safety, that now it actually happened. So maybe we're starting to see those adjustments, and maybe sure. we're starting to get players into those positions that are going to make them excel. And
maybe it also shows they have a bigger role at corner, maybe too, right? Because if they brought Mills back and mm-hmm. were comfortable at moving him to a different position, they must have a better plan in place at corner, which is a good feeling too.
And dude, we're on day two of that too. The legal tampering period. We haven't even hit the official start of free agency. We have 10 picks in the draft. Man, if you're sitting here and telling me right now that we could still end up with either Chris Harris or Darius Slay, even a Prince Amukamara right now, you could go out and draft a cornerback or a young safety in round one, I'm not too concerned about it. Like, there's still plenty of money to go around, and we're going to talk about it with the guarantees that have gone out to some of these deals. They still have cap space. Like, I'm not worried in the slightest. I really like these moves that they're making, and one of the things that I've been following along here is PFF has put out, it's like a win against replacement tracker, and what's going on with free agents leaving and free agents coming in. And before the move for Hargrave and Sudfeld and Ridgeway and bringing back all these guys, the Eagles were close to a -2 losing guys in wins against replacements, but now they're right back to even on that scale. So to me, it's nothing but up from this point. And you did a lot of things to solidify the building blocks of this team for the next 1 to 2 years moving forward. Now yeah. you have to get those moves to supplement them that are going to be even longer term moves.
Right. That's why I didn't want to overreact even before they brought back McLeod and Mills, was that, you know, this is only day two. I can't criticize the plan yet if they let Jenkins walk, because you haven't had, basically free agency hasn't even started yet, and the NFL draft is still to be had, and you have 7 picks in the first 4 rounds. So, but I will say I was a little nervous. I was a little on edge when they let Jenkins walk, because of just how crucial he has been to that defense, and especially with all the movement in the second and third level of the defense right now, personnel-wise, that, you know, again, not having that presence was making me a little on edge. But bringing McLeod back in, I think Jalen Mills is perfect for that role. Again, I don't want to just, I feel like it lessens Jenkins' value to say Mills is just going to come in and be what he is.
It's not a one-for-one trade.
Sure, yeah.
Like, no way.
But I will say, though, that having those two does soften the blow. And again, this, it's not over. They can still add a free agent safety. Will Parks, they are interested in, from the Denver Broncos, only 25 years old. A lot of upside there. Demaryius Randall is still on the open market. Anthony Harris was franchise tagged by the Minnesota Vikings, but reports are that they might actually let him go in a trade for a mid to late round draft pick. So the Eagles could do something like that still and have Mills as your third safety. Or again, me and you, we're big fans of guys like Xavier McKinney, Grant Delpit, Ashton Davis, Antoine Winfield Jr., Kyle Duggar, Jeremy
Chin. Yeah, like if they take any of those guys to be safety three right now, like I'm not even panicking in the slightest for the safety position this year.
Last year, Marcus Epps was the guy playing single high a lot because Jenkins and McLeod would roam around the formation so much. So that's a role that a lot of these rookies, I think, would be good fits in, and so would still some free agents. I think Will Parks is a way
even
better
Avante
option.
Even Avante Maddox.
Yeah, and Avante Maddox, too, is still, I mean, I don't know if they're going to move two corners to safety, and that,
no,
that's
No, but I mean, you could play him in those nickel roles
no,
that
sure.
they've played for how many years now, and that's exactly what they need in their safety three, and now you have this versatility, and that's what they love, and Jalen Mills really does have that versatility. Not that he's a lockdown corner by any stretch of the imagination, but now that you can move Rodney McLeod, who they like to put on guys in coverage, now that you can move Jalen Mills, who they like to put on guys in coverage, and I still think there's a big move to be had at cornerback, and I like the moves that they're making right now. I think they're sensible. I don't think they're making many moves with the heart. As you've seen, Malcolm Jenkins is probably the biggest proponent of that, and they're making cost-effective moves. I mean, between paying Jalen Mills $5 million and paying Rodney McLeod $6 million next year. You're only guaranteeing $1 million of Hargraves deal next year. Man, they're still playing with a lot of house money at this point in free agency.
No, for sure. I guess where I'm at is with this whole Malcolm Jenkins thing is that I'm disappointed that he's gone. He's somebody that I would have kept in 2020, but it would have had to been for the right price. So where I'm at is I really hope the Eagles did try to make it worth his while to stay. I hope they weren't just budging on the current contract he has now. I hope they would maybe have tried to give him like a Devin McCourty kind of deal, and that maybe he just really wanted to break the bank and cash in one last time because he is 32 years old. And, you know, if he can get 14 to 15 million, he's not going to on the open market. But if he wants to try and the Eagles let him go there, totally understand. But it would be harder for me to swallow, even though there's options still and they brought back Mills and McLeod, if they just did not consider anything outside of what his contract is right now. That's a little disappointing because, again, he's not what he was, but he still is somebody that is going to be huge for a defense in 2020. But again, there is still a whole nother 2 months of talent acquisition that's coming the Philadelphia Eagles way. We got to hit one more break here on Locked On Eagles. Well, we got to hit another couple. We got segment two and three still to go. We'll continue to get into the remake of the secondary on day two of NFL free agency as the Eagles let Malcolm Jenkins walk, but did bring back Rodney McLeod and Jalen Mills. What does that mean for the future of the secondary? What moves to come? That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. Gino, you mentioned it in segment one, getting into now how Malcolm Jenkins not going to be the face of the defense for the first time since 2014. Talking about leadership on and off the field, that's something now that it's not just Malcolm Jenkins, no more Jason Peters, no more Nigel Bradham. Those were a lot of vocal leaders that actually Brian Dawkins even went out of his way on Twitter today to thank those guys for what they have done for the Eagles organization over the past, you know, four or five seasons. So now it really is Carson Wentz's team, man. And of course, I don't want to say that they're just picked clean of veteran leaders now, right? You still have Jason Kelce, Zach Ertz. I thought DeSean Jackson stepped up admirably in that role last year, even when he was injured. I thought he did a lot for Greg Ward and for JJ and for even, you know, Robert Davis. And you have Jalen Mills, who is ready to be that new Malcolm Jenkins. And you still got guys on the defensive line like Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. So I'm not too worried. I don't want to lessen the importance of those leaders they've lost, but they still have a bunch of guys that have been a part of that Super Bowl win and have done this before that I think they'll still be okay in that area.
100%. I'm not too concerned about it. I think we all know who the leaders on this team are moving forward. And I believe that you have your young core and that you are going to only add to that element, and I'm not too concerned about it. I believe that this is Carson's team through and through, that one of those guys on the defense is going to step up, and man, if they go out and just, like if they draft Patrick Queen or if they draft Grant Delpit, one of these emotional defensive leaders, like you have your future. There's so much time left that I'm not even panicking in the slightest, and I know I texted you today and you said that I gave you a little bit of peace of mind.
Yeah, I said your composure gives me peace. Because every time I text you, I'll be like, oh man, I don't know about this. And you'll be like, no, you know, it's good. We're going to take Xavier McKinney or, you know, there's options still. And I'm like, all right, you know what? Your peace is giving me peace.
Yeah, I totally agree there. And we have to be right now because this is the time of crazy things going on in the NFL. And how many times have we claimed an off-season winner to go on and not really do much success in the regular season. And
that's
right
happened a
now,
bunch just with this team alone, you know, 2011, 2015.
Yeah, it's just so funny that people are like, oh, let's go out and sign Byron Jones, and oh, now we don't want to overpay, and oh, we didn't pay for him, now we're the losers. Like, it's just funny how that works out. But I think they've made nothing but sensible signings, and I think you have your leaders intact, and as long as Brandon Graham's on that defensive line, I believe Rodney McLeod brings a lot of juice there still, Jalen Mills still, but man, you're only going to continue to get younger. And I mean, look at what the offense was last year with a bunch of guys that came off the practice squad, and look at how they united. Like, how awesome will it be when you have just a nice young group of 10 picks that come in and they're the heart and soul of this team moving forward? It'll be a really cool rejuvenation process that we're going to continue to go through within these next couple months.
So Malcolm Jenkins, just real quick to look back at his career with the Eagles, I don't know if they're going to retire his number, Geno, but I think it's going to be pretty close. I mean, what he meant to this defense from 2014 up until 2019 is it goes without saying, really. I mean, anytime you needed somebody to make a play, anytime the offense was struggling in 2014 or 2015, the Sam Bradford year, like the pick six against New England, taking out Brandon Cooks in the Super Bowl, which was big because Cooks was destroying that defense in that game. Mm-hmm. Even I remember, I mentioned this one a lot on the podcast in 2018 against the Giants. They're down by, I think, 16 points, and the Giants are knocking on the door again in the red zone. They could go up by 19, and if they lose that game, they were 5-6 at the time. It was all, or maybe even 4-6. It was right after the blowout against the Saints, and Malcolm Jenkins comes up with a huge interception in the back of the red zone against Eli Manning, and that turned the entire tide of that game and the momentum. And even last year, week 17 against the Giants, like that forced fumble on Daniel Jones pretty much put the game, you know, as a wrap and gave the Eagles a playoff spot. So I will say, just from a fan perspective, kind of like Brian Dawkins, and even you said, you know, in segment one, you were getting goosebumps talking about it. It's going to be tough to see. You know, there's certain players that even Nick Foles, I was kind of okay with the Jaguars, seeing him in a different uniform because you kind of expected it. But there's a couple players that anytime you see him in a jersey that's not midnight green, it's hard to swallow, right? Dawkins, I think the last time for me it was really tough was DeSean Jackson in a Washington Redskins jersey drove me up a wall. I think Jenkins next year, it's going to kind of be the same thing just because of what he's meant for the team.
Yeah, I mean, even Connor Barwin, kind of, for me.
Sure.
I was a big Barwin fan, and yeah, man, but we're in this day and age that I think Howie Roseman truly is sticking to his plan here, and he's doing everything that he has said, and I think there's a lot of commotion regarding this Eagles offseason that, to me, is unwarranted, because Howie, has he swayed from anything that he said he was going to do? He has signed young guys coming off of their first contract that they're looking to put at core positions on this team, and he's done exactly that, and he's lightened the load of guys that were on this Super Bowl roster and really has started to turn the roster over now. And you look at the early Patriots teams of the 2000s, or even their last couple Super Bowls, look at the turnover that those teams have had. I mean, 60% of the roster is gone by year two or three after the Super Bowl, and the Eagles really haven't had a lot of that. And you have to be proactive, and this is a proactive offseason to me, because right now Dallas is on the decline. The Giants are making all sorts of moves that are just going to keep them in the middle of the pack for how many years. And, man, Dallas is just – they're Dallas, and Washington is Washington. Like, to me right now, this is the Eagles division still. And I believe that right now you are in a perfect point to continue to expand your window and make it even easier for your young franchise quarterback to go on and play in several more playoffs and really instill some confidence in your defense by anchoring up the defensive line. To me right now, there hasn't been a move that has been made that I disagree with. It's just a few moves that have yet to be made that I'm still waiting to see.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I think some people are overreacting a little bit and are kind of prisoners of the moment. There's that rebuild word that's just being thrown around too much because so many key guys of that Super Bowl, you know, era, kind of, if you will, are moving on. But to me, most of the moves that are going to be made have not been made yet, right? I mean, Javon Hargrave is a huge piece of that. Rodney McLeod and Jalen Mills, big parts of those as well. But this is still a retooling. This team is not suddenly going to take a huge step back next year, even though Malcolm Jenkins, I do want to say, I don't think this was, you know, you talked about a lot, Howie not picking with his heart, and I think that is something that he needed to fix this offseason, especially when it comes to guys like Alshon Jeffrey, Jason Peters. But I will say, I don't think Malcolm Jenkins is in that same category. It is the same situation, but I don't think it was the same, like, obvious move where everybody around you, it's a consensus, oh, you know, you can't bring back Malcolm Jenkins. That's just, you know, it's all sentimental. I still, again, he's not the same player, but I do still think that he is a really damn good safety, not at $14-15 million, but if you would have told me, you even said it the other day when you were commenting on the Devin McCourty contract extension, you even said, I would have did that. If Malcolm Jenkins wants that kind of deal, then sign me up. So that's where I'm at again, is I'm really disappointed that they couldn't work things out. But at the same time, it's not a rebuild.
No, still retooling all in perspective. But to me, Lou, like when I look at this Malcolm Jenkins thing, I think the Eagles wanted to pay him what Devin McCourty was paid, but I think he wanted to be paid like Tyrann Mathieu.
That's what it sounds like.
Earl Thomas, like that's just how I'm taking it.
And I
this.
Get it for him too, man. Though, like you got to think for a
oh,
player
definitely
like,
I played that
what
contract.
He did. I mean, that guy, while everything is falling apart around him on defense with injuries, the guy hasn't missed a snap in how long? He's playing scout team at times in practice. I mean, the leader that he is on and off the field, playing special teams, playing corner, linebacker, deep safety, box safety. It makes sense that the dude wants to cash in. I don't blame him.
Of course not. I mean, he's at that point in his career where he has to, and some team is going to give him a hefty contract. But, I mean, look at the moves that the Eagles have made that have been paramount the last couple of years. Alshon Jeffrey didn't come until that first day of free agency, and I really expect something big to happen tomorrow. I just feel like the second day is usually the quietest for the Eagles, and then once things start to get official, they start to get all their fishing poles into the sea and start to pull up some of them once they see those lines moving. And I think you're going to see a lot of good things happen for this team tomorrow. And I got my fingers crossed, but they had to cross a lot of T's and dot a lot of I's inside their organization before they went out and made some outside moves. So this was the first step and the first domino to fall, and many more moves to come in the Eagles this offseason.
Absolutely. They need new linebackers. They need new cornerbacks. They're going to need to add wide receivers, some depth on the offensive line. So there's going to be plenty of news, plenty of moves that the Eagles really have to make in free agency and the NFL draft. And we got you covered right here on Locked On Eagles. We got to take one more break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Eagles fans across the globe, we're getting into some big-time secondary decisions today on day two of NFL free agency. The Eagles letting longtime heartbeat of the defense, safety leader on and off the field, Malcolm Jenkins, walk today. They decided they're not going to pick up his team option, so he will be a free agent. To help lessen that blow, they bring back Roddy McLeod on a two-year deal worth $12 million combined, and they also bring Jalen Mills back on a one-year contract worth $5 million. And for anyone wondering if they were officially, not I don't want to say officially, but if the team itself is considering moving him to safety, today, the official Philadelphia Eagles Twitter account, when they tweeted out that they re-signed Jalen Mills to an extension, they went out of their way in the tweet to talk about his versatility as a corner or a safety. So that definitely is in the plan for 2020. Geno, though, again, they didn't sign Byron Jones yesterday. They brought in Javon Hargrave, and it's a big contract, but he's only getting $1 million when it comes to a cap hit, at least, this year on the books. So they don't extend Malcolm Jenkins. The McLeod and Mills deals, really good value. They're not really spending a whole lot there, only $11 million combined in 2020. As you have kind of hinted at, you got to feel like there's at least one big shoe to drop still, and I don't know what it is. I mean, it could be Darius Slay, maybe Robbie Anderson, but I do feel like something bigger is coming because of the flexibility they have now.
Yeah, I totally believe that Robbie Anderson is
in the
cards.
I was going to say, you're heating up on the Robbie Anderson thing the past couple days.
I just think that this secondary wide receiver market is playing out a little better into our favor than we thought. I mean, what did Randall Cobb get? He got like 3 years, $27 million. And
yeah.
I can see Robbie Anderson's getting something close to that. And if you're okay paying Nelson 9 point whatever you paid him last year, I'm totally on board with paying Robbie close to 10. I mean, Rashad Perriman around the same thing. But I think what you have seen with the guarantees and with the cap space, there's still a big move to be made. I mean, there's no way that we were arguing about $14 million in cap space a couple of years ago and wondering to see what Howie would do with it. And we're sitting here with 40 plus, and I expect this to be like a kid going to Walt Disney World when it's open, not during the coronavirus, unfortunately. I apologize to all those affected, but we're sitting here, and now Howie Roseman really has his toy chest of things he can do, and we're only heating up, man. There are some big names still out there. Like Chris Harris, I still believe Prince Amukamara would be a guy that's in play. I know you've mentioned Logan Ryan a few different times. There's still plenty of swing tackles we can go out and get. I know the Cowboys, they just let Cam Irving, if I'm not mistaken. They didn't pick up his option. There's a potential offensive tackle you can go out there and get. plenty of guys. I mean, you mentioned Anthony Harris. You could go out and get Will Parks. There's so many holes left to be filled on this roster that they're going to make one to two big moves still, and the value is yet to come. Like, they're going to get into this value free agency period and see a lot of these guys that thought their market was going to be higher and really capitalize, like a guy like Robbie Anderson, or, I mean, even a guy like, I mean, what is Chris Harris waiting on right now? I mean, I think the cornerback market is set. I'm just waiting to see where he wants to go.
Yeah, I think once Byron Jones signed, that was kind of the market was set right there. So I think you will see a lot of these corners eventually agree to some deals, you know, tonight maybe. I mean, yesterday, right, when we got off the podcast, the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs, so there could even be stuff to discuss later on tonight or tomorrow as well. I don't know, maybe it won't be one big shoe to drop. Maybe it won't be that they trade for Darius Slay or Robbie Anderson or, you know, Anthony Harris, although those are trades and signings that I would be on board with. Maybe it is just a bunch of different, you know, value signings, and you have more cap space to toll over into, you know, 2021 and, you know, beyond. It could just be, you know, a combination of Brashad Perriman, Prince Amukamara, and like maybe another value linebacker. It could be something like that, but I do, just because the cap's going to go up so significantly next year, or at least it's expected to, that I am expecting one big splash. And maybe that was Hargrave, but I don't know. I have a feeling like you that they're cooking up something.
Yeah, I just got a feeling. I mean, Darius Slay, I just don't believe he can play in Detroit after everything that has gone on, and he knows that he's not going to get a contract extension, and that's just like a big name waiting to drop, and to me, that's the perfect type of guy because the market is set for him. You just have to figure out what kind of pick you would be willing to get rid of. He's 28, 29 years old. You pay him a three-year deal, and you have a guy that you could pay right now $18 million, and next year it will look like pennies when the top guys are getting $24 to $26 million in free agency once the cap goes up again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that might be the move. They've got 2 third-round picks to work with. They got 3 fourth-round draft picks, so maybe as the days go on, Detroit's asking price does lower, and maybe Philadelphia does call again about Darius Slay, because reports were, Adam Schefter even said about maybe 3 weeks ago to a month ago, that the Eagles were in on potentially trading for Slay. But we'll keep you posted. We're going to be posting again another 3 to 4 podcasts this week as the news continues to develop. But as for today, that's going to do it for Gino Camilleri and myself, Lou DiBiase, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Make sure, again, because we're posting 4 to 6 episodes a week, that you subscribe on any podcast platform. And if you're someone that likes to listen to podcasts on your desktop, LockedOnEagles.com, we post all our shows there as well. And of course, we're always talking birds on Twitter after the show, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at Gino_LOE. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.